to Philippians chapter 4. And we've come through a lot. I am grateful. And we've just studied a few things. But in those few things, I believe there's been much sun glory illumination that we haven't just read about, but I believe by the grace of God, we continue to receive. We're changing from glory to glory into His very image. I thank the Lord. I know it's not about numbers, but I sure am thankful to see such a good handful here tonight. I know that everybody's busy and thinking of eating and thinking of cooking. I'm glad you're thinking about Jesus, and I'm grateful for that. But I'll tell you, this is a mighty precious letter, isn't it? And you think this precious letter to these Philadelphia saints at the church of Philippi, they were partakers with Paul's grace. I pray that'll just ring louder and louder in your heart. The magnificence of that vision of grace. It's the same grace that's given. But, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. Paul's grace is the grace of God that's with us to take the whole counsel of God. Paul's grace is confident. Paul's grace, praise the Lord, has an attitude as we rejoiced. And the attitude is absolute confidence that the Word of God is mine. Yes, it's the promises of God are yea and amen, but the Word of God is to me. This proposal is mine. It's intimate. As we've been reading through this precious letter, we read that word obtain, apprehend, over and over, to take it for yourself. I believe that the Lord has encouraged us. He does not want us to see things afar off, does He? He wants us to enter in such boldness, just like each and every one of those Gentile brides. He's mine. He's mine. And when all of us have that attitude anyways, we enter in there as one, because it's the same mind, it's the same purpose, it's the same love, it's the same drawing, it's the same grace. And I love that, and I thank the Lord how the Spirit does it. But these precious saints fell in love. It said that they, from the first day until now, they loved that bridal truth. That was their fellowship. We've been encouraged beyond, leaving no doubt, any doubt here, that there's but one goal, isn't there? And that wasn't just for Paul's life, that's for our life. Because we have that calling. It's the same vocation wherewith ye are called. It was the same. Paul preached the vocation that was for those that would receive the same gospel he did. That's our calling. It wasn't someone else's, it's to us. And I thank the Lord that we know that there is but one goal for our life. There is but one mark, one prize, and that's to win Christ. I thank the Lord that we, by the grace of God, desire nothing more than to live ready. Not to get ready, but be ready. It's time to be ready. I believe it's apparent in the Word of God that the coming of the Lord is upon us. It's the one thing that Paul said, the resurrection out from the resurrection. That's what we're about. And I thank the Lord that's what we live for. That's what we breathe for. And thank God that's what we long for. Now let's go ahead and read verse 10 through the rest of the chapter. There's so many things here, but I think this is where we'll kind of finish up tonight in these little nuggets through this letter to the Philippians. Paul says here, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And what that really means is that if you look up that word, content, it truly means to be strong in the Lord. When you're content, you're strong in the Lord. Amen? I thank God for that. It's so sweet when we're just strong in the Word. We're strong in what God has told us, what he has said, what he has promised. So, he says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And this was amazing about these people. These were the poorest of the poor. They didn't have a thing, but they outgave them all. They weren't looking to get, they were looking to give. And they were the poorest. And I pray this speaks to us so much. And as Paul spoke before he even got here, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And all of that, to have that consistency. You know? What a testimony these precious saints had in so many ways because of the love of Christ. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. He was in places where they had wealth and things. But yet it was them at Philippi that were giving. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. Quite a statement writing that from a prison. Kind of puts our lives in real quick perspective, doesn't it? When we start thinking, oh, woe is me. When this gospel rings true in your heart, I have all and abound. I have Christ, what, want I more? Where do you think that comes from? Right here, praise the Lord. I have it all. You've got it all. You're rich beyond and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I tell you what, Paul here is rejoicing in thankfulness. And last night we got together, and there was a lot of rejoicing. But there wouldn't be any rejoicing without being thankful. And that's what comes forth. When you're thankful, you rejoice. And we're so thankful that that abides with Paul. Now, why did it abide with Paul? Was it because Paul was special, or was it because the gospel that Paul had was special? Amen. We call it Paul's gospel because he was that chosen vessel that it was given to by the grace of God to make known to us. Amen. The chiefest sinner, showing the mighty grace of God in a way that could never be shown except through the chief of sinner, if you will. Now, as we accept that place, and I think you only accept that place as you continue to gaze more and more on the mercy seat, that you begin to lock arms with Paul and say, well, I don't know, Paul, I'm a pretty chief of sinner too. Then you begin really to see the glory of his grace, don't you? Amen. You begin to really praise him for who he is. Now, Paul, he's content. And the reason he's content is because he has laid hold and apprehended the one thing. The one thing. That's all he's spoken about is the one thing here. If by any means, the mark for the prize, all this, whether abound, whether abased, it didn't matter. I'm content because I got the one thing. And we're so thankful that this testimony to us and this encouragement to us, because we have the same thing. He's going to press on in grace alone and by the grace of God remain in first love and just abide. And whether it's in a prison or whether it's in somebody's household or wherever it would be, that didn't matter. What mattered was the grace of God and the word of his grace that was with him. And that it was the treasure of his life. That, again, holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. This is why we gather. This is why we come in here. This is why Wednesdays, Sundays, Fridays, by the grace of God, we want to come. We want to get in here. It just, it is supernatural. It's of him. It's from above. It draws us beyond anything else that draws us. And I thank God, again, in that pressing that he gives us. But we come now to the crowning statement, I believe, maybe of this whole precious letter in some respects, the meaning of each one of our lives, right there in verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. I believe it's said very sweetly in another way in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We know that's what grace does. And we know we have all grace. Not some, not a lot. We got it all. Amen. And in this all grace, which is in the plan and the purpose, in the power, in the provision, in the passion of our Lord, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, may we truly, truly embrace that our lives are perfectly ordered. Your life is perfectly ordered. Every moment of your life is perfectly ordered. Every step, every downsetting, every uprising, every moment of your life, everything perfectly knitted, stitch by stitch. And why? To supply us every need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. That's his whole purpose. That's his whole purpose. And I thank God how he's had us rejoicing in this for many, many months, many, many years. But this is his full glory gospel, brothers and sisters. This is the gospel of the glory. This is the glory of his grace. This is his bride. And this is the truth. This is the word of his grace. And as the word of his grace, it says, builds us up and gives us that inheritance of the riches of his glory in Christ. That's what it does. And let's make sure that we leave no doubt, brothers and sisters, the most holy faith that he gives us, this need that he's speaking of here, supplies, and I'll tell you what riches of glory, of his glory, it does supply. Let's go on and read about this. So it's made known to us what these riches of his glory is. Turn on over to Romans chapter 9, verse 23. And in 9:23... amazing, this is the Apostle Paul that's encouraged to write this again. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's all he saw for you in ages past. That's it. He saw this. He saw us now. He saw this rejoicing that we would have in the marvels of his grace. And notice who it's on. His vessels of mercy. His vessels of mercy. Not his vessels of works. Not his the vessels that are really doing good. Some of those, you know, some of those Christians would say, what you doing wrong? Well, I'm just a vessel of mercy. And I think that means what's going right, because I'm getting it, praise be to God. So we see that remember, this was the plan of God, that he might make known the riches of his glory. It wasn't that it would be a might for the Lord. He was going to do this. But would we receive this? Will we receive this riches of his glory, given that we are those vessels of mercy? Going back to Galatians 4:1, and I thank God, till I'm blue in the face, you're going to hear that. You're born a king. You're born a little Lord of all. You're born to rule and to reign. You're born this vessel of mercy. You understand that? It gave you the exact ultimate opposite of what you deserved. That's what's so beautiful about this. And our precious Lord and Savior took on himself the exact ultimate opposite of what he deserved for us to have it. Amen? He even took upon himself to be separated from God for us to have this. To be made sin for us to have this. What we deserved. And yet he left his throne for that. But yet he gave us such mercy that the exact opposite that he is offering to share his throne jointly together with us. That's called the riches of his glory. All right? Praise God. All right, let's go on over to Ephesians 1:8. And Ephesians 1:8, it says it like this. Oh, 1:18, excuse me, 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So see, once again, who's he speaking here to? He's speaking to Christians, isn't he? He's not speaking to a sinner. He's telling a Christian, he said, your eyes need to be enlightened to this. If you want to see something, you better want to see. And this is what Paul's praying here about this gospel that he received. This is the gospel that there's more. To be saved is the beginning. To be filled is a necessity. To be full is a wonder. But then to be, I'll tell you, enlightened eyes of understanding, full and growing, I don't have a word for that one tonight. I'll have to wait till the Lord tell me when I have a body like unto his own. But you get it. But here it is, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know, not doubt, not wonder, not think, not have a sight of, but you know this. You enter into that intimacy. This is a knowledge, truly a very deep, intimate knowledge. What is the hope of his calling? Isn't that amazing how people always, oh, I wonder what my calling is. Oh, my. You need to know what the hope of his calling is. And then you'll understand what your vocation is. If it's truly the word of God, which says follow Paul as he followed Christ, this is what you'll follow. This is it. You won't try to hunt and peck. You won't try to dodge this. You'll feel like it, though, because you're human. And we all do at times. We have a thing called convenience. Let's just go to the halfway house and have a sandwich. You got to go on. You don't have time for a sandwich. You got to get there. So he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory, there you go, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Oh my. So now, it's like here comes another layer off and another layer off. See, we just read back here that, you know, that God is able to make that grace abound to us. And we read back there in Romans that he might make known the riches of his glory. Huh? On the vessels of mercy. And now, praise the Lord, it's the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in those vessels of mercy. Yeah. Everything he wants, everything he's invested in is right here. It's right there. His inheritance, his complete wealth, is in his son. Praise God. And here it goes. Turn on over to chapter 3. Let's read verses 16 through 19. It says here that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Well, I'll tell you what, he really likes to tell about this riches of his glory, doesn't he? He loves you. Here you are. Here you are. The riches of his glory. Come on. That's what his grace does. You're going to get an attitude or not? I hope you do. That's the attitude you need. That he would grant you. I love that. Me. According to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. See, only the Holy Ghost can strengthen you for this. Or you're not going to have that love that's going to be bold enough to get in there and get it. You're not going to be abandoned shame like a Ruth and get in there under Boaz's skirt. Wow, man, that's pretty bold to me. You better get this stuff, see? You better understand this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So what is this riches of his glory? That you may be able to comprehend. Remember that word comprehend is obtain. Take it for your own. That's the riches of glory, is when you're able to take it for your own with all saints. We're going to find out who those saints are. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You want all the fullness? You want everything he's got? It's all about obtaining that love for your own. Amen. Accepting the proposal. I want you. I want you. Praise God. Colossians, let's go on over there. Chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Here we go. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And she descends from heaven having the glory of God. The woman is the glory of man. Amen. There you go. Yeah, he's rich. He's rich when we're increased in that faith. Amen. That most holy faith. Praise God. This is what pleases him. So there's no doubt. There's no doubt here what the riches of his glory is. It's his best. And his best, praise God, are in those saints. Those saints, praise God. Those Philadelphia saints that are abiding at Philippi. Praise God. And I pray, by the grace of God, those Philadelphia saints that are abiding here in Denver. And where else, ever else you're abiding. Praise the Lord. But now, we got to know this. These riches can never be attained without our lives completely full of his before ordained good, if you will, needs for our life. Because now we go back, if you will, to our text. And what did our text say? So sweetly. Let me get back here. It says, but my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So our lives need to be completely full of his before ordained need, if you will, for our life. These are needs that make us realize, these are needs that make you realize that you are a beautiful vessel of mercy. These aren't needs that make you feel like, wow, I'm really religious. I'm really a good Christian. What kind of need could it be, brother and sister, that could convince you that you're a vessel of mercy? I'll tell you what, the love of God has to really work in you to open your arms to embrace that. Gives me chills. My arms are that wide. Oh, amen. Brothers and sisters, this is so sweet. It really is. This is something that he makes us realize that we're beautiful vessels of mercy. These are the needs that cause you to realize you're weak, you're incapable, you're unfaithful. And it's all revealed by Paul's gospel. Praise God, that we are made of that mercy seat. See, that gospel opened up that Holy of Holies. That gospel by Paul opened up and we could see into the meaning of the beautiful mercy seat and the cherubim that come out of that. One piece of beaten gold. It's one piece. And those cherubim are of that mercy seat. And they're beaten. Yeah. Oh, amen. And a lot of times that's your good old ego. And when you think that you can, oh, just keep on keeping on. I really was thankful for this last week. Faith in his faithfulness. He is faithful that promised. Isn't that something? I just love it. Makes it just boom. There's no one else that's faithful. He is, because he's faithful and true. So, you see that Paul's gospel is open to us up, that we are made of that mercy seat. We're looking back at nothing but mercy. And I thank God for this. We are vessels consuming nothing but mercy. You just keep consuming it. You just keep feeding on it. And how wonderful to know how completely needy we are of him. Grace and truth in everything, every moment. All for what? The purpose of his good pleasure. The good pleasure, the same thing as the riches, hallelujah, in glory by Christ Jesus. That's his good pleasure. You. You. Praise the Lord. And what you're taking, what you're feeding on. But notice here, if you will, it's not he'll supply all my needs. It's a need. It's a singular thing. This is wonderful. It's one thing. It's our need is one thing. His need is one thing. Our need is to win him, and his need is a wife. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? I'm thankful to God. You know, for a long time in my life, I really didn't like the life he gave me. I wanted to get a new camel. I did. I know you all just love your camel. But I have grown to love my camel. And I do. I am so thankful for the man of God. I'm serious, because I realized there was no other way it was going to be. There's no other way, praise God, that I would have been, by the grace of God, hooked up this camel to the Holy Ghost train to take me to the bridegroom. Praise the Lord. But I've learned to treasure and glory in my infirmities. Those things that are my weakness. Realizing that I can be pretty useless. understanding I can sure be squirrely and unyielding. And I'm so perfectly made for every need to possess the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I realize that it has to be the grace of God that's with me. Amen. I'm thankful. And when I see this and live this, I'll tell you what, you even get more thankful. Now look at this, which is real sweet here too. Notice in verse 22 of chapter 4, it says, all the saints salute you. Isn't that something? I love that. I think that's a little bit of a foreshadow of, I'm going to make known to all that I have loved thee. But I also see this, you know what? These are ones of like precious faith as well too. Just like it says, the word of his grace will build us up and give us an inheritance among all them also that are sanctified. I like getting a salute from the sanctified. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we do, by the grace of God. This is going on right now. Well done. The crowning gospel, the victor, the finishers, the good soldiers that endured all that hardness. And once again, the only way to see this is to see his love for you. And this is his great love. And is seen in the plan of his exceeding riches of his grace that he wants you to share with him. This is divine love, brothers and sisters. See, this love that he's talking about is this passion that he had in ages past, where even the Father typed in Adam, as the Lord said to, as God said to my God, I love that. It's not good for man to live alone. Marvelous. Now, as we close this up, this is our praise and rejoicing. The riches of his glory is our praise and rejoicing. We read there in Ephesians 3:18 that we need to comprehend this. Yep. Amen. Not just hear it, not just have this be a verse that we read through and studied in Bible study, but I obtain this for my own. I take it to my own. That this truly, I know that this was written as the word of God even said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. But I also know that this was written for me. That it has my name in here and your name in here. And he's that intimate with you and you know it. And brothers and sisters, this is so wonderful that he's called us to take this great love wherewith we're loved, and to truly abide as a readied wife. And the readied wife abides in such abounding thankfulness that I'm believing, Lord, that this message working in me has readied me to rule and to reign together with you now, to be glorified with you now. I thank the Lord that in faith in his gospel and in faith in his grace, I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. I know that Brother Paul said, not that I've already obtained this, because we're still living by grace, by faith. Amen. But I thank the Lord for this abounding hope that he gives us. To grow up fully in this knowledge, the word of his grace. To grow up fully by the power of the Holy Ghost and what he wants to build me for him. To realize that it's mercy and mercy and mercy alone that transforms me. Oh, you don't think so? Turn on over to Hebrews chapter 4. It's a verse you all know. But maybe have we ever really, really thought about it? But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain, look at that word again. And yes, it's a form of that same word, but it means the same thing. To take it for oneself. You mean, I need mercy? I thought I was walking with God. Why would I need mercy? I thought I was, you know, I'm a pastor. How could I need mercy? I know pastors like that. And I'm going to tell you something. That's no pastor. You best be a testimony of mercy or you don't have any ministry. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Not this ministry, you don't. What did it tell you? You go in there to obtain. How often do you think you should be going to the throne of grace? You think you should be living there, huh? So I can say, you should be living mercy, huh? See, people think of mercy as just, again, for instances. Mercy is your praise. The Word of God tells that we praise Him for His mercy till He come. And this is the mercy of the riches of His glory. You get that, right? Amen. That's mercy. Yes. Ruling and reigning jointly with very God of very God. Let me explain something to you. Total mercy. Amen. You can't earn that. You couldn't even think that. You couldn't even utter or ask that. This is mercy. So instead of thinking in your own mind of, oh, it's just this guilt, that's what you have mercy for, is for wrongdoing. No, this mercy that you're apprehending is because of this great gift of love. Amen. It's marvelous, isn't it? Now, more and more, brothers and sisters, this is why we praise Him for this mercy, because more and more of this complete opposite of what we deserve. Oh, wretched man that I am, and then yet this is mine, and I take it for myself, because He told me, and He told me in love. It wasn't a command. It was His heart's request. It was His heart's desire. And maybe His greatest statement of it was on the cross. I didn't die to just save you. I died to have you. I died to have you. More and more of ruling and reigning riches, more mercy is more glory. And once again, you don't have to do wrong to take mercy. But I'll assure you, when you do wrong, you'll take mercy. Just once or twice more till He comes. I'm understanding the exceeding riches. There's a depth. I appreciated a sister encouraging my heart. The layers are only found in the blood on the mercy seat. Gazing into that blood. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, and outpoured all that merciful blood. How deep will you gaze into it, huh? Just in the surface? You won't get way down into those layers. How deep into that blood. Oh, poured forth. Thank you, Lord. We're seeing some things tonight, praise God. And then, you know, you see this blood in the mercy, and you realize, how could it be anything else? Because once again, we're made one with that mercy. We are of mercy. We're vessels of mercy prepared afore unto glory. You see that? Amen? Yeah. See, we had to be a vessel of mercy in order to be prepared for glory. Because only a vessel of mercy could receive grace. You get that? Isn't that wonderful? Be happy for who you are. Be happy for who you are. Yes, praise God. Here we go. And this is our lives here as we conclude this here, right here. Every high and low, every need, it's grace and mercy. Mercy for one purpose. And what purpose is that? To win Him. And to really get it, brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful? Do you really get you're wonderfully and fearfully made? You're wonderfully and fearfully made. Fully. It's a double portion of fully. It really is. Made for Him to fill every need. And no wonder here we are at a Thanksgiving. No wonder we can thank Him always. Sweet Brother Ty was talking about this thankfulness always. Not sometimes, always. Boy, when we have this, it's always. We're content. We're strong in the Lord. Amen. And praise God, we know what our purpose is. We abide and live for one purpose. Thank God. It's the out resurrection. I'm so thankful. I live each day to meet my bridegroom in the air. That's it. And I thank the Lord that this glory of His grace doctrine, it'll take this vessel of mercy. And I'm going to tell you, by the way, I was built to fly. Built to fly. I never really realized how much I like to fly, but I was built to fly. And someday, oh my, right on out of here. All by the grace of God that is with me. Let's stand and be dismissed. Praise His name.